Good morning, WQBX audience. It's great to have you with us this morning. This is Richard Jolla from Amazing Grace Church in Wheeler, Michigan. And this morning, we're going to be talking unscripted with Pastor Jett Darren. We are just, we have nothing written in front of us that we are both looking at. And we might have little notes that we're keeping, but basically, we're going to just talk about what God is doing. This program is to share with you what's happening in the Christian community. And, you know, you might be on your way to church right now, going, driving to services today. What's happening in the kingdom of God is far greater than what's happening just in our individual churches. And, you know, we talk about, you know, one of my good friends shared that, you know, when we all get to heaven, there's not going to be a Baptist section and a Church of Christ section and Pentecostal section, and we're all going to be together. And we're all going to be worshiping the one King of Kings, and that's who we worship today. And so that's really why we come together with different ministries. We're going to be meeting with some different parachurch ministries as well here in Gratiot County that are really doing awesome works like Love Inc. and Hope House and some of the others that are taking place. And there's so many of them. And this is just to create awareness within the community so that people know what God is doing. And so we're very, very excited to be here today with you. We just came out of last week talking with Pastor Tim Morris down in Merrill at Merrill Wesleyan, and had a great broadcast with him. And of course, we did some work with Jay and Laura LaFoon a couple of weeks ago in a big marriage conference that we did, and they were right here on the air with us. And so we're excited today to have Pastor Jett Darren, who is the pastor of the St. Louis Church of Christ. Welcome, Pastor Jett.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity very much.
Yeah, and we became friends several years ago, way before COVID even came along, meeting together at a breakfast at River Rock. And I got to meet him, Pastor Jett, for the first time. And of course, knew his predecessor, Pastor Keith, right?
Yep, Keith Wise.
Keith and I had talked on several occasions, and he was an Ohio State Buckeye fan like I am.
Unfortunately.
So we had that in common, and he's a great man of God as well. But Pastor Jett, just talk a little bit about your family. You have kids, and I know they've been involved in the Gratiot Players little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my goodness. That. Yeah, so I actually married into Gratiot County. I grew up over in Holland, and that's a whole long story. We don't need to get in there, but my wife grew up in Ithaca. She graduated Ithaca High School class of 95, and we moved here in 2008. Now, I had actually interned with the St. Louis Church of Christ way back in 2000 for my undergrad, so we had some familiarity with the church. And we had one kid at that time way back in 2008, but now I have five kids.
Wow, five children.
So I have a daughter, I've got four boys, and our kids we homeschool, but we've, you know, obviously tried to be involved in the community. We've done a lot of martial arts stuff and dance and theater. And so the last couple of years, I mean, the theater stuff has really taken off, and my daughter really loves that, and my couple older boys have started to get involved in that. They just had tryouts for Willy Wonka.
Oh, really?
The Chocolate Factory. My daughter didn't get in, and one of my other sons didn't get in, but one of my other sons did.
Hey.
So, a little bit of tension in the household right now, but we're managing.
Yeah.
I've been here at the church 15 years, and came in as the youth minister.
Okay.
And even then, they knew that Pastor Keith was getting ready to retire, and so there was a couple years of youth ministry, and then we probably spent, I don't know, three, four years kind of in some transition there, which was good and healthy.
Sure.
We had a lot of people coming to us during that time and even after that just, hey, how'd you guys do that so healthily?
Yeah.
And part of it was we took our time.
Right.
And again, there was mutual respect. You know, Pastor Keith had respect for me. I had respect for him.
Right.
And you had a leadership and a church that was on board as well. Right. And it just, it was perfect. It was a God thing. Really was a God thing.
You remember offhand how long Pastor Keith was here?
Oh, so I think he came in 90, I'm probably going to get this wrong, 92.
Yeah, about the same 90, time I came.
93, somewhere in there. And so I think by the time, and he was kind of part-time those last few years as we transitioned, but I think it was well over a 20-year.
Wow.
Well over 20-year run. So I think 2016. So I can't do the math. 16 plus 7. Yeah, whatever that is. 20. Yeah,
it's okay.
Two, I don't know, whatever. But and he and his wife still worship with us. But he does a lot of pulpit supply too, kind of around the area. But he's an encouragement.
He just every time I talk to him, he looks like he's having his best life.
I think so. Yeah,
he loves what he's doing, and he's very peaceful about what's being here. And this, like you said, is one of the few situations that has been really good where the former senior pastor sure. stuck around.
Yeah, and it's worked well. And part of it is probably for Gratiot County, a little bit bigger than the average size church. So I think that helped a little bit.
Right.
You know, you just, there was enough ministry here.
Right.
That, I mean, we probably really needed a couple more people, to be honest with you, than just the two of us trying to pastor everybody. And again, some of that is just temperament and personality for the both of us.
Yeah.
And it worked out extremely well.
So what's been your big takeaway from going from youth pastor to senior pastor?
that's a good question. That's a great question.
You know, people usually say that when they need a little time to think.
Yeah,
about
it. No. I don't have to stay up till midnight or do all nighters anymore. It is kind of funny. I find there's a lot of the same issues with adults.
Sure.
That there is with kids.
Yeah.
There just tends to be a little bit more at stake.
Yeah.
With adults.
Right.
You know, because this isn't just a boyfriend or girlfriend situation. Now it's husband or wife situation.
Right.
There's kids involved. There's, you know, so you get some of that, but I don't know. People are people.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Ministry's ministry. So.
And now you're challenged every week because you're preaching pretty much.
Yes.
Every Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean,
that has been
a little different.
Yeah, and I've enjoyed it. I have.
You do youth, obviously, and you're teaching and preaching too. But
I think preaching, the
service organization, the whole deal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what have you been preaching on recently?
So this is I had joked at the end of last year that I was going to do like a 2 month long Christmas series.
Oh, really?
And we ended up doing that, kind of.
Okay.
I just called it incarnational, the idea of being in the flesh, being face to face, just especially with the technological world that we live in, of putting the phones down, getting offline, and just what we're doing right here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sitting here face to face, meeting with people. And so we went kind of through the Old Testament, looking at when God showed up in persons, like in the garden, right? God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, he was there with Abraham and the three visitors. He would wrestle with Jacob all night, you know, and then obviously, right, that comes into the traditional kind of Christmas story, right? God puts himself in the flesh with his son.
Right.
And then we've transitioned into that through preaching through the book of Hebrews.
Yeah.
And that same kind of thing, that Christ is superior to all these things, right? He's above the angels. He's, you know, if Abraham and the promise would have worked, that would have been great.
Sure.
But that wasn't enough.
Right.
If Moses and the law was enough, that would have been great, but it wasn't enough because we have a high priest.
Yeah.
Right. We have a mediator. The Hebrew writer used that word mediator, which, you know, I just think right here, somebody that actually has both parties' best interest in mind.
Yeah.
Right. He's got God the Father's best interest in mind, and he has you.
Right.
His adopted brothers and sisters, right, in the family. And so.
Yeah.
We just got through chapter 4 and we're headed into chapter 5 this Sunday.
Oh, awesome. Wow.
So we're going to,
you talked about unbelief then and about to the promises.
So a couple of the warnings there, right? The warning of drifting away, the warning of doubt.
Yeah.
And there's a couple more warnings that come in there and it has been, I think it's been very encouraging. Myself, we have a part-time, youth and worship guy right now. He's amazing. And, boy, the Holy Spirit has just been good to us this last fall and winter and into this new year. Because with him being part-time, I would love to have some more time, like you just said, of being a little more intentional about how we're planning services and doing things. But sometimes we just don't have that time.
Right.
And, man, I don't know. I don't know if most people know that the Church of Christ Christian Church, we're definitely not on that maybe Pentecostal or charismatic side.
Yes.
We're probably a little bit on the other end of the spectrum. But.
Yeah.
I tell you what, Danny Buegar, he's our worship and youth guy, and man, I can't tell you, almost every Sunday we get done with the service and we go, man, God's good.
Yeah.
God is good. Praise.
That's awesome.
You know? So it's just been wonderful.
And I love that the teaching through Hebrews, you know, I'm getting ready to start a series on Wednesday nights on Galatians. And
okay.
You know, the whole idea that what Hebrews, Paul consistently tried to bring about was that, look, the law is not going to get you. It actually shows us that there's no way we can get to God through the law. I mean, that only Christ can get us where we need to be.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a powerful message out of the book of Hebrews, the more excellent, the more superior way. Yep. What is it? He calls it the excellent message, that the promises are far superior to the old covenant.
So
that's absolutely
much
awesome.
Better.
Much better.
As the simple English. But, well, you know, and I think it is tough. You know, we live in our current culture right now where everything has to be equal and everything has to be the same. And again, and I'm all for equality and for all of those things. But then it gets tough when you say, well, there is something that is better, right? Yeah. There is something that is far superior to any sort of system or thing. And it's Christ.
You know, for so long, the world never required anything of you. Now they require, their requirements are like the law. If you use the wrong pronouns, or you say, I mean, it's really amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, that's
that
good.
It's
yeah.
just such a legalistic system, or that what they call cancel culture, but how that, you know, if you say the wrong thing, and you may not even be intentional about it, but that you have violated my rights.
Yeah.
And it's a real tough situation for Christian believers, for one, and parents and just people that, you know, to know how to function in that kind of a world. Yeah.
Well, that's why I think you just go, hey, I certainly didn't. You're like you just said, I didn't do that intentionally.
Right.
Right. I'm going to love you.
I'm not trying to offend you.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Right?
I'm going to love you just like Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've had people stop and correct me. You go, oh, hey, my mistake. I'm sorry. Right. Yeah. You know, I didn't, like I said, it wasn't intentional. But it is. It's just interesting in the place we find ourselves at in our culture.
And
today.
God called us for such a time as this.
He did.
Yeah.
I think about that, right? And I look at my kids. I'm sure you do with your kids and your grandkids, and you go, right, God has a plan.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, my grandmother said that about me and my sister to my parents. I can't believe you'd bring kids into this world. You know, that was back in the late 70s and in the 80s.
Sure.
You know, so you go. Boy, people didn't think it was good. It was good 30, 40 years ago.
You know?
So it's, I don't know, nothing new under the sun, as Solomon says.
Yeah. Right. So if someone was coming to the St. Louis Church of Christ to visit this Sunday, you know, there's folks out right now, they're listening to this broadcast. They might be thinking, hey, I might stop there. I just passed by.
Sure.
What would they expect when they come in here?
Yeah. So we're on the west side of St. Louis. We're on M46. We're right next to the VFW hall. That's what I tell everybody.
Right.
See the big military tank. We're the big church right next to that. You know, we've got a great group of kind of greeters and welcomers. And it is. I think it can be intimidating. I think it's. I use the analogy, the same thing like going to a gym.
Right.
I'm quick plug here. My family and I, we use the jiu-jitsu gym here in Alma.
Okay.
And Central Michigan Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and it's intimidating, right? You don't know how to dress.
Right.
What's the class going to be like?
Right.
All of those things. Right? Is the instructor going to be good? And so the same thing. I think you come into church and it can be intimidating. So you try to make that experience as well as possible. We just took a tour here before we started recording. We renovated our sanctuary fairly recently here a couple years ago. And so we have nice cushy chairs. You know, we sing three or four songs. The Church of Christ in our tradition. We partake of communion every Sunday.
Right.
And, you know, ever since COVID, we've just gone to the little kind of communion cups, wafers, kind of two-in-one deal. And,
right.
And haven't really looked back. That's worked out real nice. So we usually have somebody give communion meditation after a handful of worship songs. I preach for probably 20, 25 minutes.
Okay.
Then we usually have a closing song. And there's usually some sort of an altar call. I guess what you would maybe altar call, but just, you know, hopefully after the message, if people feel they need to respond, whether that's in a salvation way, or I tell people, if you just got something you need prayer about, you know, or rededicating your life, or even we have fairly loose membership qualifications or whatever in our church. So same thing. I'm just going, hey, St. Louis Church of Christ, the place I want to call home.
Yeah.
Right? These are the people I want to worship with and do life with. So I think by and large, it's, I would say fairly, I don't know, I don't know, standard's the right word, but I would say not too intimidating.
Right. You require people to wear ties and
dresses? I dress up fairly well, and I don't, and there's probably a lot of reasons, for that, but no, we're pretty casual. I would say we're pretty casual by and large. And certainly as the, during the winter months, I mean, part of why I dress up a lot is it's just warmer.
It's warmer. Yes. Great point.
But I go a little more casual as the weather changes. And part of that, like Keith always did that, you know?
Right.
And so some of that is, I can fall into the tradition and stuff too, but you know, the analogy I give a lot, and I try to encourage our guys in our leadership. I really got into NHL, watching NHL and ice hockey back in the mid-90s when the Wings were making their their big runs. And you know, hockey, boy, if you don't know anything, that's a weird sport.
It is.
I mean, it's part of why it's not so popular, right? Because there's a lot of little rules to it. It's a much better game when you watch it live, when you actually go to a hockey game and you can smell the ice, mm-hmm. right? And you're in the building and you can really you can actually see the puck and you know, whatever. And I tell people, I said, church, it's like the jujitsu thing, right? Church can be like that.
Sure.
Of like, well, I don't know anything about hockey.
Yeah.
What's a two-line pass? What's right. offsides? What's, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes a lot too, you just need somebody to sit with you and go, okay, this is what we're doing, right? We're going to sing a few songs.
Right.
We're going to have communion. This dude's going to get up and preach for a little bit, right?
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah.
And I think to all of us who've maybe grown up in church or we've gone to church for a long time, some of that stuff might sound silly to us, but, you know, somebody else that's coming in that maybe hasn't gone to church in a long time or mm-hmm. has never really attended, you think, man, let's treat this like a hockey game.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Hey, sit with me. We can talk during service. It's okay.
Right. Yeah, explain what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, right. This is what's happening. And I think especially... I think in some of those more maybe higher church traditions, those more liturgical traditions where you go, and I think a lot of that stuff's beautiful. I think a lot of that stuff's wonderful, but you go, it'd be nice to have somebody just explain, well, why are we doing this prayer?
Right.
Or why are we reading this thing? Or why are we standing up now? Or why are we sitting down?
Right.
You know, right. Some of that. And so I don't know. Maybe a little off topic there.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And I think it's an extremely, it's an intimidating environment for new people, obviously. Sure. And we forget that because we are in it every week, and most of our leadership is in it every week, so they forget that as well. And someone had said, if you really want to get a picture, have somebody that doesn't go to your church come through the door, spend through the service, and then tell you what they thought was going on, or did anybody really shake their hand or spend time coming up to them, and. Yeah, and did they know where the bathrooms were? Did anybody even tell them, you know,
sure.
where the bathrooms? Is it easy to find? All those, you know, kids going to ministry.
Yes.
We find, like, in our world today, you know, that parents are concerned about, you know, they want to put their kids in children's ministry. But, you know, do you guys do any kind of background checks? Do you, you know, who's in there with my kids? I don't know who's in there, especially a guest.
Yeah.
So there's certain things, you know, that we have to consist. I don't know that we ever get a grasp on it because culture's dynamic in a lot of ways, the way it changes. You have a great leadership team here. I know that around you, you have elders that are on board with you.
And it's wonderful.
Of course, Dennis is one of our friends, and he's a great guy, him and his wife, and we just love them. But you got other leaders that are helping you here.
Sure. So, again, within our church tradition, it's always been kind of an elder board, elder-led. And I've got two guys, two newer guys that have come on our eldership kind of end of the fall, into this new year. One of them's recently retired, and you know, and again, it's to those people that are out there retired. I mean, right? The church body needs you know,
right?
To have that time, and whether it's even just things around the building, or whether it's going and seeing people, or helping your pastor out,
right?
Encouraging your pastor, you know, and so. And then even just beyond, I was telling you too before recording, I've got a couple ladies in my church that have just really stepped up and just gone gangbusters. And Not that it's all about programs, but I mean, man, they just got some really neat things going on, and we're doing pickleball on right. I think Tuesdays and Thursdays.
You guys have an amazing gym facility here.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Got some mystery dinners and just, I mean, I don't know. They've just,
oh, I love mystery dinners. Those are great. My wife really loves mystery dinners. Yeah.
So it's, I don't know, it's just, it's been exciting. Like I said, I just, these probably last 4 or 5 months, the Holy Spirit's just been good. And we just, you know, we got people taking ownership of stuff.
Sure.
And for my leadership, this is probably true, probably almost any leadership, you say, hey, look, we need to trust and empower people.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's, you know, who wants to do a pickleball ministry? None of you guys do, but this lady does.
Right.
So let's give her the ball and let her run with it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Block off some times in the schedule. Have the gym, and you know, hey, they want to do a mystery dinner.
Yeah,
let's come on, let's do it.
Yeah, I work out at the Alma College facility, and
okay,
they have pickleball every
day. Oh, do they? Okay, yeah,
they have a morning pickleball group, and I mean, it's a big group of people. There's sure. probably 20 people out there playing pickleball, and then they have an evening group that has about 20 in it.
Yeah, that's wild.
They love it, so you know, it's a big deal. I mean, you know, for what they're doing, but I think it's awesome that you know, your church and ministry is providing that kind of atmosphere for people.
Yeah. And just one of many different things. And just started this fall again with having so many kids, finally have it in my schedule. Everybody's kind of going to school. And
right.
we started a Wednesday morning Bible study at 11.
Yeah.
And again, there's been a great group of probably 8 to 12 people that come fairly regularly week in and week out. And it's just given me another chance to connect with
sure.
some folks I normally haven't really connected with
yeah.
In the congregation, so that's been good. And
well, it's community. You're creating.
Sure.
I was listening to Kerry Newhoff, and he had talked about in his podcast, he said that one of the things we have to recognize is that people typically are not coming for our music, or are they coming for our preaching, because they can get way better content online. And way better music than we can do, right? I mean, and if you want the multi-deal, and he said what they're coming for is the community.
Yeah.
They need, and you know, even if it's 8 people, that's a community of people, or it's pickleball.
Sure, yep.
And I think that COVID taught us that we desperately, I think there was a, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there was a major shift after COVID where people desperately wanted community more.
Yeah. I
in
think
the
so.
Church at least.
Oh yeah. I think you had even painfully introverted people.
Yeah.
I don't even think even 6 months into that we're like, okay, I'm ready to be around people again, you know?
Yes.
No, that's why I have a couple sweet old ladies. They're some of my biggest encouragers, and they even tell me, well, I watched Charles Stanley before I
Oh yeah.
I thought, well, okay. Yeah, I can't compete with that, you know.
Charles Stanley, whose hands feel like they're going to reach out of the TV set and grab. His arms are so long, you know, when he reaches. Oh, yeah.
And so,
or I mean, David Jeremiah, whoever,
sure,
all these
sure.
guys, man, they're just
and like you said, I mean, it is, right? We live in a day and age now where, I mean, even older folks.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They can get on YouTube. They can get on, you know, wherever. And so, yeah, what do you provide as the local church? Well, hopefully, you provide that community.
Yeah.
That incarnational, right? That face-to-face, being in the flesh.
Yeah. Do you guys do online stuff at all?
So we just stream on our Facebook page.
Okay.
That's kind of all we do right now.
And that's just would be St. Louis Church of Christ.
Yep, St. Louis Church of Christ. It. Yep, Facebook page. And, you know, I think like a lot of people, we weren't really online before COVID. And, you know, I think we were like everybody else trying to scramble and play catch up there.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, might have been one of the good things to come of that, to really kick
a lot
of
I used to watch you every Sunday morning.
Yeah, did you?
I did. No, I think you were sitting right here.
I'm so probably. Sorry.
No,
yeah,
no,
maybe.
Yeah, you'd get on and I'd listen. Oh, no. Well, especially when we were in lockdown period, know, and you'd get on. And then some things, if there was an outbreak or whatever, you had to deal with that.
Yeah.
But I thought you handled things very, very well. And I thought the online presence, I mean, you know, it once again, the online really only provides a certain level of community, but it does provide community.
It does. I went to a minister's gathering here last month, and one of the guys that did a little presentation of that, and he's a younger, hipper dude, you know, youth right. guy with all the tech stuff, you
oh,
know.
Yeah.
And he just encourages us. He says, look, there is going to be some people, that's the only way they're going to engage.
I know.
And he said, it might only be three people or five right. people or 10 people. But he says, look, Jesus had 12.
Yeah, right.
right, you know?
Yeah.
And so I always try to make some sort of mention, usually at the beginning of the service, you know, welcoming people that are worshiping from home. And
right.
And we have some of our folks who, again, traditionally have always been a part of this church that are maybe shut-ins now or,
right.
you know, that kind of thing, that it has provided a way for them to at least still feel a part
absolutely
of the St. Louis Church of Christ. So you go, hey, we do it for that one person.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think Tony Morgan said, the author of Unstuck Church, that he said that, look, you're just going to have to accept that your congregation is now not the people just that are showing up on Sunday.
Yeah.
And that they're out there in other places.
Well, case in point, we had our youth and worship guy, he grew up most of his life in Liberia.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, I met him at the men's breakfast.
Okay. So he and his wife, they actually just took a trip back there to see his mom and dad and stuff. And so the same thing, we just put a plea out to the congregation. We took a special offering up one Sunday. And the same thing, there's a guy, Pastor, I don't know who he is.
Yeah.
I don't know who he is. I see that he tunes in almost every Sunday. I think he lives out of state.
Yeah.
He sent a check.
Huh.
He sent a check
huh.
to help them on their trip. And
wow.
I'm like, dude, yeah. I don't know who you are, but praise the Lord. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Really.
And
yeah.
so I don't know. You know, it's things like that that you just you can't account for, and you just go, okay, all right, we're doing something. So
no, absolutely. And I think, you know, that you know what you all are doing, you're doing well. And I just want to encourage people that if you're looking for a great church, mm-hmm. St. Louis Church of Christ is a great place to go. And go up, and if you as you're listening to this broadcast, let Pastor Jutt know, hey, I heard you on the radio, and I heard you talking with Pastor Jolliffe about stuff and yeah. ministry. I'm interested in what you all are doing, and it'd be a great church to connect with. Well, we just got a couple of minutes. Did we forget anything that was on your
you know,
stuff
there? Yeah, I'm looking at my little notes here. One of the things I think our church is known for here in the community, we have a food pantry, pretty robust food pantry every third Thursday from 11 to 1. There is a little bit of a sign-up process with that, but even if you've never come before, you've never signed up, just come on third Thursday. And then about every other month, we host the Lansing Food Bank truck.
Okay.
And so it gets a little confusing because some people, and that's usually on a Wednesday, and we'll have 200 or 300 cars lined up out here. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty cool thing. You know, we just have the pallets in the front parking lot, and people just drive through with their trunks open or whatever, and we load people up. And so we do those two things. What else? Yeah, I'm looking. We just partnered. You mentioned Jay and Laura LaFoon earlier.
Yeah.
We have just partnered with them, excited for their Healthy Marriage, Healthy Church
yep.
Program. And so we're going to be kicking off some of that stuff here in the spring and then through the rest of the year. And so just, you know, the same thing. I think I've seen that in our church and even with some of my friends in our community, right? Our marriages need some help. Our families need some help.
Yeah.
And it will. I think it'll be a ripple effect, right? When we can fix... say fix, you know what I mean, you know, but we can help make those marriages healthy and the families healthy.
Yes.
Right. The schools become healthy. The workplace becomes healthy. The
absolutely.
Church becomes healthy. The, you know, going to shopping at Meijer, you know, right. All of that just right. We become better.
Amen.
We become better people.
And
so,
that's awesome.
But yeah, I thank you. I thank you for the plug.
Oh,
I thank
yeah,
you for
absolutely.
the chances to sit down. And
what would be the website that they could check you guys out at?
I believe it's slcc.org.
slcc.org. Okay, great.
So
perfect.
Maybe it's St. Louis Church of, I don't know. I'm not sure. You can Google it. It'll come up there.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've got a website. We've got the Facebook page.
Good.
And we have office hours. The office is open every day.
Sure.
Pretty much 8 to 4. And we've always had a culture of just stop in. You know, people stop
check
in
it out.
And ride on 46. I think that's part of it. And
we were talking about before the broadcast, you and I, and then, of course, the Methodist Church.
Yeah.
We sort of are the only churches on 46 for miles and miles.
Yeah.
Until you get out to like M46,
Tabernacle
out towards it near Edmore and that. But anyways, thank you so much,
no
Pastor Jutt, for doing this today.
Thank you.
And we appreciate your time and the investment that you're making into the Christian community. And we're very, very grateful for that. We want to let you all listening to this broadcast know as well that if you want to re-listen to this, it is on podcast form so it'll be on after you've heard this, and you can go back through and listen to it. Just go to our website, AG Alpha George Church, agchurch.net, and there's a media section, and you'll find everything out there. But until the next time we're together, we're real excited about what God is doing, and we got great plans for the future. And so join us next week right here on WQBX at 9 a.m. God bless. Have a great week.